And you grab a Bible. Go to, let's see, where are we going? Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I want to look at the topic of continuing to believe because the promises of God are sound. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" See, from the day that Jesus Christ made that statement, right, that ministry of healing, freedom, deliverance has always been available, right? That is available. It's not like he said, okay, available for a short period of time. No, this day is it preached. There it was. The promise was made. That promise hasn't diminished since Jesus Christ made it. He made that promise at a time when he still hadn't finished everything he was supposed to do. Right? After he had finished everything he was supposed to do, it's even a greater promise to us that freedom, liberty, blindness, healing, deliverance is always available. And that has to be what underlies our believing, is that we know that the promise of God that was made is sound. That's it. We recognize that promise is there. It's not going to change. It's always available. Right? In Mark chapter 5. In verse 25. It's in a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." You know, it took her 12 years, right? It took her 12 years to get that deliverance. She could have given up, right? She could have given up after a year, after 2 years, after three, four, five, six, after how many years? But you know what? She never gave up, right? Now, the problem here was she didn't have the right promise. All she had was physicians and doctors and all this. As soon as she got the right promise, it was immediately accomplished. What I'm trying to say is we have the promise. We have the right promise. It is sound. It is there. It is there to be believed. It is there to be believed at any time that we choose to believe it. Right? But the first thing we have to recognize is the promise of God is true. That is true. It is sound. It is there. It is not like, well, maybe it'll work. No, that promise is sound. We see it time and time and time again in the Word of God. That is not going to change, right? It is there to be believed whenever we want to believe it. Romans chapter 4. There's some great lessons here in Romans chapter 4 about continuing to believe. In verse 11 of Romans 4, talking about Abraham, is that he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Abraham, the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, yet being uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to them, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and call it those things which be not as though they were. The promise had been made to Abraham quite early. How many years did it take him to realize that promise to come to pass? It was more than a year, wasn't it? It was many years. I think it was 20-some years, right? You see, the thing is, the promise was sound. The promise didn't change. God gave him the promise. It was there. It was there to be believed, and it didn't change. Now, the key for us here is look at his life. In verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, the promise was given, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was but 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. See, when we have a promise, one thing we can't do is to look at our inability, right? You can't. That's not what God wants us to concentrate on. There's great lessons here. He's the father of all them that believe. So what do we learn from Abraham? You know, he knew that his body was beyond. He knew Sarah, but those weren't the things that he concentrated on. The promise of God was what he looked at, right? He said here, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You see, that's one thing we could do. We could stagger at the promise of God. We could say, well, is that really true, right? Can that really happen to me today? We could do that, right? But see, that's why it's good to have Abraham's example here, because he didn't do that. He didn't stagger, right? He didn't have any doubt that the promise was sound. Yeah, they tried a few things to get it to happen, okay? But he never, ever doubted the promise. He knew it's true. So when the Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ I'm healed, that I have righteousness, that I have redemption, that is true. That is not. Now, it's up to me to believe that. And whatever that takes for me to do, I should never question the promise. Right? He staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't say, well, I'm not sure about that, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So his response was, thank God that the promise is... Thank you, God, for giving me that promise. Thank you, God, that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. Thank you, God, that by His stripes, by His work, I have redemption. That I am righteous. Thank you, God, for making me righteous before you. I don't feel like it right now, but thank you for making... See, he glorified God. He didn't look at his inability to believe or not to believe. He counted the promise of God as being certain and sure, right? Verse 21, and being fully persuaded. Right? See that? He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's the second. Another thing, you know, one thing, when God makes a promise, we have to believe that he's able to do that. Right? When God says, by the stripes of his son, we are healed, we have to believe that he can do that. Never question the promise, right? So Abraham didn't question the promise. And secondly, he also believed that God could do what he had promised. Right? And while waiting for that to be manifested in his life, he glorified God. He continued to glorify God. He never said, well, you know, where are you, God? How come it hasn't happened to me? Where's the, you know, what, all those things that man can get into. He didn't do that. He just glorified God. God, you're good. Your word is good. Your promise is good. Thank you for making that promise. That's what, that was his life. Right? It took him a while, but you know what? He could have given up. But did he give up? No. He continued to believe because the promise was sound. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18. I know I got inspired by what the kids were doing. 1 Kings 18. Actually, I just realized that. I was like, yeah, because I was listening to Liam was showing me his comic book there last week. And then Emma was showing me hers. Was Sophie or Emma? Sophie, yes, it was. And I guess, wow, this is really cool. And they had such great details in the scriptures they were looking at, right? I said, wow, that's really neat. You know, I mean, when Liam was showing it to me, he was stuck at one spot. He didn't know what to do with the confrontation with Obadiah, right? You know, he wasn't sure which way to go with it. And I was kind of thinking, you're trying to get the main message, but you may want to just skip that. But he did not want to, he wanted to stay true to the text. Right? I said, okay, well, here's what you could do, right? But it was blessed me that, you know, whatever Vij was teaching them was a great blessing. You know, here they are learning the details of a record. You know, you can't help but think about it if you're drawing the pictures, right? So here they are. So I got blessed to read that record. 1 Kings 18:36. This is just after Elijah has dealt with a few hundred prophets. 18:36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Remember the whole, you know, you guys know the record about the prophets of Baal. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou turnest their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, Oh, Lord, he is the God. Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Right? Probably a little bit of blood in that water after a while, I think. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, while we're here, let's go read James chapter 5. Well, you keep your fingers there. I want to read James, Hebrews, James chapter 5. I love this record in 1 Kings. James 5, verse 16. It says the second part of the verse, 16b, if you will. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And it talks about fervency, effectual prayer, earnestly, right? Verse 18, he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. See, it wasn't like Elijah just kind of sat back. Okay, you know, God's taking care of, he didn't just sit back here. Like, this record is really, really interesting as to what he does here. And I read this and I go, wow, this is pretty cool. So we know what happened. He fervently prayed effectively. He didn't give up in his prayer life, right, to deal with the situation of no rain for 3 years and 6 months. Verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Right, Carmel. From Carmel, you can see, I'm not sure which way he was facing. You can face west and see the Mediterranean Ocean off in the distance, or you can face east and see the Dead Sea. We're closer to the Dead Sea, so I'm not sure what sea he's talking about here, but it's one of them. So he went way up high. And said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea," one of the seas. And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." Right? You know, so... You know, did you ever pray and not get an answer? Right? Did you ever? Have you? You know, I mean, yeah, I think we all have that. Here, he's prayed earnestly, told his servant, "Go take a look," and he goes, "Elijah, I don't see anything." Right? I said, "Okay." And he said, "Go again 7 times." Okay, he went to his servant. "Well, how about now? I don't see anything." Right, comes back, you know, head between his knees. "Okay, go now," you know, third time. I'm looking. I don't see anything up there, you know, you said rain, but I don't see a cloud in sight, right? Okay, go again. Right. You know, he could have stopped, right? He could have stopped after the fourth time and said, "This is a waste of time. Why am I bothering to do this?" I'll tell you why he didn't, because the promise was sound, right? He knew God. God had promised it. He knew what his God. So he tells him the 6th time. He tells him the 7th time. You know, if it takes us a little bit of time to believe something, right, we should not ever doubt the promise or the ability of God behind that promise, right? Absolutely not, right? So he tells him the 7th time. Okay, go again, you know. And it came to pass, verse 44, at the 7th time, that he said, "Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." So we can start seeing a little bit of cloud coming. You know, it took him 7 times to ask him. It took him some prayer. And he said, "Okay, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. You see that? I mean, it took him a little bit of time to get to the point where he got the result that was needed, right? We should never, ever doubt God's ability to provide what he has promised, ever. We just keep believing. You keep going to God. This is the promise. That's what it says. That's what I believe. That's the promise. That's what it says. That's what I believe. You see? Go again. Go again. Go again, right? That's what he told his servant. I read that record. I go, you know, why did he have to do that? I don't know. God had it recorded there for us to understand what it takes to believe him. You know, sometimes it's not going to happen like that. Right? So we doubt the promise and stop giving glory to God, right? No, we continue to give glory to God. We never doubt the promise, and we never doubt God's ability to do what he said he can do, right? Ever, right? And the end result, a lot of clouds, black clouds, lots of rain, right? Not just a bit of rain. An abundance of rain, right? That's always God's answer, right? Yeah, I love it. Look at 2 Kings, right? Let's see if his protege learned the same lesson, right? In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18. It always kind of reminds me of the record, too, where Jesus Christ healed that man who was blind. Remember that record, you know, where he kind of says, I see men like trees, you know, and you know, I remember, I think it was a bishop who was talking about how they used to carry those sticks around for the fire. We used that in India all the time. They I don't know what they call it in English, but it's these branches that they used to burn and cook food in India, and you know, people always carry them around, right? So he was kind of like, I kind of see trees moving around, right? I'm not sure if it was that, but that's what bishop said, right? And he said, okay, well, go and do this now, right? And, you know, it took him time to believe, but the promise was never in Jesus Christ's heart. The promise was never in doubt. He never questioned the promise. Abraham never questioned the promise. You know, Elijah never questioned it. 4:18. And the thing to keep in our heart to remember is that abundance of rain is waiting, right, to happen to you and to me as soon as we believe that promise. That's not going to change. It is there waiting to soak you, right? If this is what you need. figure of speech. 4:18. And when the child was grown, if you remember that he gave this woman a child, it fell in a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, "My head, my head," and he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." So this is a record where, you know, Elisha had given this lady a child, and then the lad had gotten very sick, and then verse 20, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of thy young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." And, you know, her heart in this whole situation is very, very, is a good lesson for us. Her heart in this situation is single. Her mind, her eye is single. You don't see a double-mindedness in her actions at all. You see a singleness. She knew what she wanted to do, and she knew how to get there, right? There's no question. There's no questioning. And then we see the same thing with Elisha in a minute here. I mean, the two of them working here is just wonderful to see. And he's, okay, verse 24, "Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me except I bid thee.'" So don't you worry about me. I don't care how bumpy the road is. Don't you slow down unless I ask you to, right? She's got her heart set on something here, and she's going to go for it. Run, okay, verse 25. "So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel." Commonplace, eh? I think there was another prophet there a little while ago. "And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, 'Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?' And she answered, 'It is well.'" Now, was it well? No, but she had something in mind. She knew where she was going. Yes, yes, it wasn't Gehazi she wanted to see, right? It is well. She knew where she was going. "And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me.'" Why? I don't know. You think giving revelation isn't God's prerogative? Absolutely, right? He didn't tell her. Tell him. Verse 28, "Then she said, 'Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me?' Then he said to Gehazi, 'Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not." Don't chat around about the price of wheat. "And if any salute thee, answer him not again." Hey, Gehazi, just keep going. "And lay my staff upon the face of the child." So this is what he told Gehazi, go take this staff and go lay it on the face of the child. "And the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing." Did it work? No, it didn't work. What Elisha, the prophet of God, told Gehazi to do didn't work, right? Isn't that what it says? He told him to put the staff on there, right? At this point, Elisha could have said, "Well, it was worth a try, lady, you know, we do our best," right? But you see, he knew God, right? And just because he did this thing and it didn't work, didn't mean that the promise of God and God's ability was to be ever had in question here, right? Never. It just, I love his single-mindedness and hers. "Wherefore he went again to meet him," Gehazi went to meet Elisha, "and told him, saying, 'The child is not awaked.' And Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord." Right? He goes, I mean, I would love to hear what he said, just out of curiosity. Wouldn't you love to hear what he said? I have no idea. All I know is he closed the door and prayed unto the Lord. Verse 34, "And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro." Okay? You can see he's walking back and forth, back and forth. Is it done yet? No, it's not done. You see, he could have said, oh, this is a waste of time. Oh, why'd I even bother? You know, he didn't. He just, first the staff, then he lay on the child. He prayed to God. Now he's walking back and forth. You see, I mean, I read these records and I go, boy, you know what? It's okay if it takes time to believe God. I should never, ever give up trying to believe what I know what the promise of God says. I read that and go, wow, this is a great record. And stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Right? I can imagine the relief. It was yes. Right? You can just. You know, I'm sure in his heart, he wanted that to happen when he had Gehazi put the staff on the child. Right? Yeah, it didn't work. So what did he give up? You know, did she give up after 12 years, the lady? Did Abraham stop believing? Did Elijah? Did it take 7 times to get that rain to happen? I don't know. All I know is these records here, God had them recorded for us. We need to never question the promise of God until we see exactly what he has promised. Not a little bit of rain, a lot of rain, right? Not a little bit of prosperity, a lot of pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over. I'm sure a lot of believers might just say, well, you know, if I just had just enough to eat. No, God's word promise. Don't question God's promise, right? Don't question the promise of God, right? Don't look at my inability. Our own inability. Look at what the promise of God says. That is what God wants for you and me, right? You know, he didn't want his flesh just to be warm. He wanted him up, right? And so he didn't stop until he was up, right? Luke 18. He's a great God, you know. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Right? That's that the right way of believing on the earth. You know, it's talking about men praying to God and waiting for an answer, you know, and God will avenge them. And he says, well, yeah, but when the Lord comes back, is he going to find people who are still attempting to believe rightly when he comes back? Right? Is he going to see that? Right? Is he going to see men and women who are faithful to stand on his word when he comes back? The right way of believing, you know, just never fainting in prayer, never giving up in prayer, never until you get the result that God has promised in his word, right? You know, I don't know what it is, if it, impatience, you know, Moses was gone for 40 days and 40 nights, and they say, oh, the heck with that, he's not coming back. Let's build a calf, right? You know, what is it, impatience? Is it fear? You know, what is it that stops man from believing? Or is it doubt, unthankfulness, because lack of glorifying God, whatever it is that gets in the way of our continually believing? We need to replace all that with understanding the promise of God is sound and that God is able to do that which he has promised. You know, Moses was gone 40 days, right? You know, 40 days he was gone. And I go, okay, well, he ain't come back. Oh, we saw the Red Sea parted. Don't forget the promise. Right, you know, yet they did. They forgot it. And they chose to make a calf and go some other way, right? There is no other way to go. The promise is sound. Well, there is another way to go. There's no other good way to go. Right? The promise of God is sound. His ability is without question. Right, Joshua, right? All those years that he saw God's deliverance on the people of Israel, he said, I don't care what you guys do. As for me and my house, I'm sticking to the word. Right? Did he always get the desired result? No. There was cases where they had to say, "What's going on? We got some." there were problems. But he said, "I don't care. As for me and my house," and if you read that record in Joshua 24, that whole chapter talks about the many problems Israel had. Right, and out of them all, God delivered them. Didn't say there weren't going to be problems. Right, a lot of problems. But he said, "I'm going to stick because I know the promise of God." You know, faithfulness to stick to something is highly valued by God. You know, if you read the record of Joab in the Bible, you know, he's a man that I kind of, every time I read about Joab, I go, I don't fully understand everything. But, you know, God tells you in his word why, you know, Joab, if you look at the 31 mighty men listed under David, both of Joab's brothers, Asahel and, what's the other kid's name? I think I wrote it down. Not Absalom. Asahel and Abishai. They're both written down as being David's mighty men, but Joab is not, right? And it's because he did not stay faithful to the promise that David and his heirs were going to be on the throne of Israel. He went after one of the other guys, one of David's sons, to rebel against David. And as a result of that, he's not listed there because he didn't stay faithful. Shall the Lord come and find those who are still trying to believe rightly on the earth, right? You know, and the prophet was tired. I'm tired. There's nobody else who believes. God says, I got one more job for you, Elijah, and don't question me. There are still some men out there who haven't bowed to me. They're still believing faithfully, right? Don't let the other things in life get in our way to stop believing God's word. You know, people get tired. You know, God has given us the hope. It says in Hebrews, you know, don't look at your own ability. Consider him. You know, the Lord, he's there. He's done all this for you. Consider him if you get faint and wearied in your minds, right? So look at the Lord. Let's close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. See, we're not looking for another truth. Not looking for anybody to pull out a Bible and show us all kinds of weird theories about this and that. The word of God is true. Thy word is true, Jesus Christ said. I've given him thy word. Thy word is true. The word concerning Jesus Christ is true. We are righteous. We are redeemed. We can accept, get deliverance from healing for any time we need it. We can expect prosperity. We've been given eternal life. All these promises given to us in Jesus Christ are sound. There is no reason for us to look for other promises except other ones from God's word. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Right? God is faithful, his promise is faithful, and he will do it. You know, we just need to stay solid, understanding the promise is sound, his ability is there. Not let the other things get in the way, you know, and to me, reading those records, these men who just, you know, they worked to the point where, okay, I finally can believe God, right? And the result, lots of rain. Child healed from death, right? A woman after years, just deliverance, Abraham, a son that led to the Christ line. You know what I mean? You're talking about deliverance, you know, and it wasn't always easy, but they never doubted the promise, right? Never doubted the promise. And they were never questioned God's ability, right? So let's continue to glorify God. You got a need in your life? We continue to glorify God because we have the promise. And just keep going to him, going to him, going to him, going to him, whether it takes 7 times or 70 times, right? Until we receive what his word promises. And, you know, we make no excuses for blessings, prosperity, healing, health. That's what God wants for his people, right? It's not like we should just accept less from him. He's a fountain of living waters. Fountain, right? So let's keep on believing, right? The promises of God are sound. Let's not question them.